keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV, this awesome independent radio station. Make sure you guys bookmark them and check back other times of the day, other days of the week. Check out some... get some different perspectives from, you know, things that you're normally not used to hearing. And now I'm joined here by my co-host, DB Schwartz. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm up in Santa Cruz checking out the banana slug action.
Checking out what?
Well, the name of the mascot for UC Santa Cruz is the banana slug, because, like, all over these big redwoods up here, there's these huge, up to 12-inch long slugs that... they seem to live in this perpetual symbiotic harmony with another slug, where they each take turns being different sexes and reproducing. Pretty cool.
Oh, damn, that's crazy. So you're up in Santa Cruz. Isn't that where this massacre happened or whatever?
No, Santa Barbara, but I was there on Monday.
Oh, okay.
And it was pretty... there's a heavy presence. There was a lot of cops all over. And... dude, I found out that basically from reading a paper up here that they've pretty much gutted most of California's mental health budget. And this guy was a casualty that fell through the cracks, but he's one of probably more that'll come because of this horrible budget cuts that have been going on. And it's just, it's all fake. We actually run at a positive... if we're not part of the Fed. If we don't have to give up federal funding, we'd actually have plenty of money for everything.
I read a report today from the Young Turks, which we all know sometimes can be a little far to the left or whatever, but they had a thing today about how basically we've got unlimited money for wars, and now we got this thing with Obama where we're going to leave 10,000 troops in Afghanistan and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And we're talking about billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that are dumped into all this foreign policy. Now, we talked about on Monday about all these – we're in, like, basically the whole belt through through Africa, along the equator, basically. We're in Libya, all these places. But at the same time, we don't have the money. We're not spending the money for the roads. And now we're at the federal level. There's a huge cut coming into play. Where basically they're going to cut a bunch of the funding. Are they saying they don't have the funding? They can't find the funding to get all these roads built. You're talking about taxing people, and now the Republicans are saying, let's take the money from the post office. I mean, it's just gotten to this, like, idiotic point where it's like, why aren't you guys talking about the elephant in the room, which is the spending that we're doing on defense? And that's where we need to start cutting. We don't cut mental health programs, especially not with all these shootings going on. I mean, if we're going to...
And what was the statistic that just, I believe, came out? It was somebody went back and looked at every major massacre done since 1980, and I believe there was like 32 of them, 31 of them, and all but one was linked to the killer being on psychiatric drugs, man. These things that literally will drive you insane. I think the main thing that happens with a lot of these things is people just don't stop drinking. I believe that this chemical combination with the alcohol and then all these powerful antipsychotics mix over a long period of time, and then you see a guy blow his top. Because, you know, we both have family members that use antipsychotics, and if the person doesn't drink, they pretty much are zombified. They couldn't even go on a spree like this.
Yeah, man, and so we're gutting all these programs and stuff. When the reason why there are so many people in these programs is because of the poverty, right? And because of the situation that breeds, all the drug use and addictions and all that stuff, and then the prison system and all that stuff. It all stems basically from poverty, more or less, and lack of education, right? So, you know, these guys are wasting, they're pillaging our entire country, right? The reason there's so many people that are in poverty is because we've been pillaged for the last 100 years at least to pay for all this foreign policy stuff. And all of us are just left with the scraps. And then everyone ends up using drugs, they end up getting mental illness, they get malnutrition, all this stuff that causes all these health issues later on, dude. And now we're gutting all those programs and continuing to fund the total war around the world. It's absolutely insane.
Well, yeah, and it's just pointing to the end game, and it's pointing to the fact that the elite from Europe who originally found plantation, they don't care if it's taken down.
There's
so many different things.
Hey DB, you're breaking up a little bit here, man. Can you hear me? Alright, hey, hang up and call back, because I think you're breaking up a bit. I can barely hear you. No, I think, I agree completely with what he was saying, though. It kind of feeds in to this bigger picture, and it's definitely not looking nice for all the people that are, affected by, the VA, for instance. Or the government healthcare system, the food stamps, all that stuff. These people are going to be hit and placed in a situation where they're going to be very, very vulnerable, and it's going to be highly, highly likely that people are going to sacrifice their rights. And people like to say, "Oh, that'll never happen." Well, look at the Patriot Act. Look at 9/11. The same exact thing happened. Everybody got placed in this situation where they were kind of really scared that there could be a terrorist attack at any point. And for the most part, people willingly gave up all those rights when the Patriot Act got passed. Everyone was basically cheering it on, except for maybe Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul in the Congress. That was about it. Everyone else was like, "Yeah, let's do it. We gotta get the terrorists and stuff." And so everyone voted away their rights. I mean, they didn't vote it, but basically they willed it away. Because the Congress passed it or whatever. We didn't vote on it. The Congress passed it. But still, the people were supportive of it because they were put into that situation. So, you know, having this system set up right now where they're gutting these programs and where they're weaponizing food stamps, weaponizing Social Security and all that stuff, I mean, it just goes to show how much of a fragile situation so many people are in. And all of us are going to be affected by it take the initiative to build new systems, in which to function when this old crap gives out, because it's just a matter of time or a matter of when. Yeah, it's going to be pretty damn soon. And we got to have ourselves already built out of that old crap. We got to have foresight and see, okay, this stuff is failing. Here's a new idea. Here's a better idea. Let's do this instead. And slowly we opt out. And as it crumbles, we won't even be affected. So I think that's the way that we got to go. And for people to, you know, I'm running into these comments online because there's so many people, especially after this whole Bundy thing, all these militia guys, right-wingers are all hyped up and wanting to you know, take up arms against the system and stuff. And I'm like, dude, that's not a good option because they got drone armies and things like that. They got all the weapons and all the expertise. They've got the dragnet surveillance. They know where every single person's at. I mean, we already know that they target people by meta. So, I mean, they already got everybody's phone on a list, and all they got to do is press a button, and guess what? There's 10,000 hellstorms coming out of the sky. So, you know, that's just not an option. What we have to do, and just like Buckminster Fuller said, is you create new alternatives to the existing paradigm, and then the new stuff ends up replacing the existing paradigm because it's better, not because you have to force it or not because you have to do anything, but just because it's better. And so I think that's really the direction that we should be heading in. I mean, there's so much sentiment, and I just want to get that out there, man. I see all this sentiment online where people are like, yeah, let's go burn it down and stuff. It's like,
no, there's no point. I mean, that's what they're planning on. I mean, this is the entire plan, is that they want to burn it down so they can build a new world out of the ashes. They're going to be safe underground and let the shit hit the fan on top. I mean, you can look at the predictive programming, even with the new True Blood coming out, where FEMA essentially abandons people after vampires decide to go just total war on humans. That's just going to be used just like The Walking Dead is prepping you. Get it through your head that the government cannot, they couldn't possibly help 330 million plus people if something happens. All they can do is divert all of their resources to protect themselves, and that's it, in continuity of government. And that's the only priorities. They're the only things they can focus on, because the other task is just far too daunting to even prepare for, except if it's just a massive calamity like they're expecting. So it's really up to us. I mean, if you have a garden, it needs to be hydroponic soon, because these chemtrails are only going to be ramped up. I mean, they're basically prepping our society at large to have mass casualties by not making it easy for people to pretty much provide for themselves.
Yeah. You know, it's like I think, in my opinion, that we're going to be hit with this natural disaster that's going to be man-made, yes, but not by any particular person, but just because of so much that we've done to the environment with the antibiotics, the pesticides, the vaccines. And just think of it slowly as these viruses start to mutate, just like polio is doing. They start, you know, you end up with people that already have the vaccine, they still get sick. And so I think that's what is going to end up really getting us in the long run, is we've done too much to the environment, and there's going to be an illness that spreads like the flu, but instead when you catch it, you're dead, or the cold, but you're done when you catch it. That's why we also need to have these autonomous systems, because when you think about how these things spread, it's spread by people having to ship things and having to move things around far, because then it gets carried over with the rats and the pests and all that stuff within the fruit crates or whatever, however this stuff is going to spread. And it's just a matter of time. I mean, we've seen all these warnings from these scientists coming out about the rise of these superbugs, because we've just been using antibiotics for too long. Not only that, but we've been using the same antibiotics for the last 30 years. We haven't had a new one. So
and they're unnecessary. I mean, you're talking about what's going contradictory to some of the, you know, cutting edge or pioneering programs coming out now, where they pretty much are at the point where they say centralized systems can only comfortably handle 1.5 to 2 billion people. The reason we're stretched so thin for our resources isn't because the base itself is shallow and we're hitting the bottom and we can't provide. We can more than provide everybody on Earth with a pretty good lifestyle. It's not going to be an American lifestyle with the success, but we're going to have anything you would possibly need to be provided for very cheaply, subsidized so heavily that it could pretty much be free. The only thing that is holding us back is this asinine notion that we need countries and governments to provide for us. It's inefficient. If you have a power grid running every home on a city's electric grid, in the 50s, that made a lot of sense. Then you didn't have 50,000 wood-burning stoves. But now with 50,000 solar panel setups, it's carbon zero. So we've shifted, the paradigm's totally different now, and the old mindset's still there because it's profitable. but it's killing us very, very quickly now. It used to be slow, but now it's ramping up. And people have to realize we have to make these shifts now while we still have any purchasing power and robots haven't taken it all over.
Yeah, man. And, I mean, it's kind of a... It's like the next logical step for humanity to become completely free, right? To become completely autonomous, where we're not... And because, let's face it, government and freedom are antithetical. Like they're opposites, right? So if we're going to talk about like where we're going to go, and back again to these guys online that I'm seeing that want to go and burn the place down and throw arrest Congress and then elect a new Congress, I mean, right there is where I stop them, and I say, whoa, like, you had me at let's throw out the Congress, and then you lost me at let's put a new Congress in play. I mean, we have to understand, bureaucracy is the parasite on humanity. Bureaucracy is what holds us all down. And bureaucracy is what eats up the resources. It leads to fear. It leads to racism. It leads to all this border wars and then, you know, people drawing lines in the sand saying, hey, you can't cross this line, but I can cross that line or whatever, just like it is for Americans, just like it was for the Roman citizens of the day. It is the same way for us. Since we've got the biggest military, we're allowed to basically go into the most amount of countries without being messed with, because we have a passport and because we're Americans. I mean, and then if you're Mexican and you want to come to America, you got a bunch of loopholes. You got a bunch of loopholes that you got to jump through, a bunch of hoops you got to jump through just to do it.
Right.
You know, because they're like, oh, well, who knows? You know, the guy might just abandon ship and then try to become an American or whatever. But it's such a repetitive cycle, man, and we keep on making the same mistake. And the Romans made it 2,000 years ago. We made it 200 years ago. And now we're getting ready to make it again. I mean, the sentiment is there. Yeah, the people are done with government. It's there. Like, that I can acknowledge. But the spectrum of what people think we need to go forward with is based on way too small of a debate. The debate is very slim. It's like, I want this kind of government. No, I want this kind of government. And it's all kind of basically a pointless debate, because in the end, the government is what's got to go. So I just don't think that the country is mature enough. And I think
we're not even mature enough as a species to self-govern ourselves. We're in a bridge point now. We have this next century to set it up for all of humanity that comes after us. We're at a nexus point here. Because the free flow of information has led to an awakening. And that, of course, has threatened the power structure, because it's all based on deception. And now those guys are at their own choice. Do we start a giant war to try to save our own asses? Or do we come out from behind the curtain and hope for the best? And I think they always look back to, you know, the French Revolution, that it never turns out well when they come out and try to, you know, pretty much rule with a legitimacy claim. It needs to either be through subterfuge or an iron fist. And the technology is there now to make an iron fist probably pretty close to possible. I think that's the only thing they're waiting for, is maybe the chip to be accepted by everyone, and that's going to seal the deal. So that's our choice. Are we going to take the first baby steps with our new generation of children that have had the internet since day one, that have had full exposure since day one, good and bad, to lead us into a new era of actual liberty where we can do whatever we want if we don't hurt other people? Are we going to allow these dudes that have pulled the strings forever, keep pulling them, and drag us into the abyss with them? Because the environment won't, it's not going to rebound with this many people unless we have a huge, huge consciousness shift worldwide.
Now, while you're on this topic of the chips, man, I don't know if you saw this, but this just came out of RT. They were the first to report it, of course. $70 million project through DARPA, 5-year program launched, hopes to one day treat a range of psychiatric conditions, including PTSD, using brain implant technology. Okay, so sure. This stuff is just the news just leaked. They're dropping $70 million into trying to develop a brain chip that's going to get these soldiers to basically, let's basically get down to the point of brain, mind controlling these soldiers by placing a chip into their brains. I mean, this is, right. It sounds science fiction. It sounds like a conspiracy theory, but this stuff is right there. You guys can Google it for yourselves. And this is the kind of problem, and this is the kind of thinking that I think that we're talking about, and why we need this consciousness shift, and why so many people are ready to get there. Because now they're looking at this PTSD problem, they're not looking at it as, why are these guys getting PTSD? They're saying, right. Okay, well,
but how do we prevent it?
It's inevitable that they're going to get PTSD. Let's just invent a microchip that we can put into their brain that's going to make them not feel the pain or the anxiety or the depression. I mean, yep. What kind of sick thinking is this? This is not preventative at all. This is like, okay, let's just accept the fact that we're going to be in perpetual war, total war. We're going to have guys with PTSD. Let's go ahead and throw $70 million at this problem and try to develop a chip to plant in their brain. This is absolutely insane.
Yes, it is, but it is logical indeed, because the technology has been there for many, many decades already. And many people have surmised that Snowden himself maybe has a chip that the Russians were able to hack, because he's probably a genetically engineered kind of guy, because of the way his IQ is like 190 or something, and that's just almost not normal for a regular guy. But they might have hacked him, man, and it's at that next level, man. Biological hacking is here. It's here. It's been here. It's going to be put into full use on the entire global population if we don't make it unnecessary. The thing is that those in charge don't want to have chaos happen. They've built this whole hegemony. It's a hegemony except for Putin, who's the cog in the middle, and they're trying as hard as they can to get him to do something dumb. But as soon as it's over with, there's just going to be one ruling class, man. So this is the next logical step, that you can't trust people underneath you that are, you know, the linchpins in this cog. You have to allow them to be controlled through whatever means. And the next logical step will be the chip. It's going to be the chip, brain chip, arm chip, doesn't matter. Whatever. They can threaten you with cutting off your whole bank account, and that will make you do whatever they say. So it's just a total control grid, and it'll start with the troops, because they signed away their constitutional rights, unfortunately.
Yeah, the troops basically, they're told, or they're considered traitors or whatever, and they can be held, you know, detained, basically. Which is why it's so tough for these troops to come out and do things, because instantly they'll be detained.
Right.
Now, there is the Snowden talk going on, like, right now, supposedly, or some people got it at different times. I don't know what time it's hitting us here on the West Coast, but interested to see what they have to say. It's on NBC. I heard that they cooked up a bunch of corporate talking points and tried to pin mm-hmm. Snowden as some kind of traitor type of thing. Mm-hmm. But like you said, the guy is so smart that he's able to. I've never even seen him once make a gaffe. Have you seen him gaffe?
No,
once?
I mean he's engineered, man. I mean he's flawless. When they were talking about how his IQ test put him in the top, maybe like 10 they've charted ever. I mean, those guys don't just fall out of trees, and the fact that he defected is very strange to me. A guy doesn't get that deep in without his control mechanism built in some way, right, to prevent this, and something didn't work. And this is where this biohacking by Russia has come up over and over again, is that we're at a point now where warfare is transhuman. The rest of society hasn't caught up yet, and they'll be horrified to find out what's really out there. But it's there right now, and it's on the news.
Well, I mean, think about it. I know a lot of the people listening tonight probably saw that video where the cop basically hypnotized. I mean, where the guy basically hypnotized that cop when he got pulled over. He got pulled over on purpose, hoping to hypnotize his cop, and sure enough, he did. You know, so mm-hmm. I mean, the fact is that when this propaganda is on TV, people talk about flicker rates and all this thing. You know, the different frequencies that these people use. These guys have mastered this stuff. They've got all the research and they've got all the historical data to back it up, and they use it. I mean, they definitely use it.
Yes, they do.
So
there's only a few things that disrupt it, and one of them you can smoke, and the other one you eat, and it's good on top of pizza. It's hard to disrupt this stuff. This stuff, you have to think about the body as an organelle for reality. your brain is this totally programmable biological computer that your soul just happens to be attached to, and it kind of processes the world around you. That can be hacked. Anything can be hacked. They used to be able to puff a cigarette smoke in the 1880s and cause a heart attack, and no one would be the wiser. So imagine what they can do now, 130 years later. I mean, the stuff that they've been working on forever, and then even with the time travel rumors and them going back and forth to get tech, I mean, who knows where it's at now?
Well, and then let's not forget about Operation Paperclip, where they had all this psychological research done by the Nazis on the, you know, they literally used hundreds of thousands of subjects to run these brutal tests on the psyche and stuff like that, which the Nazis did. And guess what? Do you know of any scientists that got hung at the Nuremberg trials?
Nope, and they never will. Those are the prizes of war. Those are more valuable than gold and all the farm and oil you could ever possibly grab. And they always will be. We took a lot of Japanese scientists as well and gave them amnesty. So, you know, to the victor go the spoils, and those are the spoils of war. Information, technology, manpower, and then now, of course, it's data and data mining and, you know, economic espionage at the forefront.
Yeah, and I mean, it's make sure you guys are aware of Operation Paperclip. Known fact, no conspiracy theory, nothing like that. It's known that we did take a bunch of the brains out of the Nazi regime to the U.S., and they came and worked for us. And then you start seeing all these changes in the 50s. You start seeing fluoride in the 50s and stuff like that. It's not, come on, it's not really a coincidence.
Yeah, and the craziest part about World War II is it ended pretty late in 45, actually, almost into 46 with Operation High Jump. And if people want to know what that is, that's everybody from the hierarchy that didn't take that paperclip deal was holed up in a, basically undersea, submarine base out down in Antarctica. And we had to take a portion of our fleet down there and pretty much root them out. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. A guy named Admiral Byrd wrote his memoirs and explained how they had to fight the infamous flying Nazi bell, which is pretty much a precursor to UFOs. Using electromagnetic power, they were able to dart around, and thankfully they only had machine guns inside them, no missiles, and we could shoot them down. But fascinating tale, and it's they go hand in hand because, you know, we didn't really win, we just made a deal.
Well, yeah, the real threat that the Nazis posed was their technology, man, and the ideology. And unfortunately, that stuff lived on. You don't kill those kind of things. They go on, and the technology gets taken by the victor, and the ideology lives on all around. We see it rise. You see the same ideology rising in Europe right now, man. These elections, I wanted to mention that. These elections that just passed in Europe, man, it's... in the UK, I mean, I'm still kind of torn. I mean, these guys claim to be libertarians, and I think maybe that might be a positive step, but at the same time, they seem that they could possibly be nationalistic types, racist types. But we're seeing it all across Europe, man. We're seeing either far right or far left parties winning big chunks in these elections. But we wonder why these ideologies are taking place. Well, guess what? It's the same exact reason why Nazi Germany came to power. It's the monetary system, the economic system, the mm-hmm. collapse of the currency. And look what's happening with the euro. All the eurozone countries are pretty much dealing with pretty bad economies. The underclass is growing rapidly. The middle class is disappearing just like it is here. The bureaucrats are making hand over fist. I mean, so we're running into these same problems, and guess what? It leads to these ideas of racism. It leads to these ideas of fascism. It leads to the scapegoating. And unfortunately, just like we talked about earlier with this whole revolution, man, you gotta really be in the right direction and have the right people to blame. Otherwise, you end up blaming people just like the Germans end up blaming the Jews. You blame the wrong people, man, because the Germans were being robbed by the monetary system, and then they blamed the Jews. I mean, it's just that simple.
And, you know, my grandmother actually lived through it and was at Auschwitz, man, and I heard many a story about how it was close for her to, you know, being the end there. And she said, you know, when they came, it was real, real easy for them. They just came in plain clothes and took people away in the middle of the night, And nobody said anything because, well, the people being taken away generally were these guys that were considered these wealthy types that a lot of people had an envy for, you know, the bankers, the lawyers, the doctors, so on and so forth. Easy scapegoats. Now, there's always been this theory that Hitler pretty much lost the war by destroying his own intellectual class, which could probably be pretty true. He probably just got a lot of the smarter people out of his society, and that was probably dumb on his part. But in America, how do we parallel the rise of the Third Reich to something that's approaching something like a fourth? Well, this is not a country where people are going to be able to be brought together under autocratic rule, because nobody really feels they're the same as anybody else. We're a nation of individuals. There's not a collective, even a nationalism here. There's a patriotism. It could be misused and misdirected, but generally speaking, what's going to happen here is, well, a free-for-all. At least that's what it seems like they're prepping everyone for, that is taking the time to pay attention. And the only way to get around that is make it so that when things get bad, like we always say, it doesn't hurt so bad so you don't go crazy. Because everybody knows when food riots start, it's not like these are bad people. They're just starving.
Yeah, man. And then people get caught up in the frenzy. Which is, I mean, apparently it's, I've been in one when I was at a rave one time in a line for this rave, and this line was completely out of control and it almost turned into a riot. I mean, I've been in those situations, and even at the marches, dude, I mean, we get synchronized and stuff like that, and
right.
People can do like unworldly things like that, you know. Now, one thing that you mentioned, that I really liked about I can't even remember what it was now. anyways, one thing that
Hold on, I remember now.
Now, what you were saying about how we can't be held under autocratic rule because we got so many people going different directions, right? And in that way, that's a positive thing. And now, getting to think about it, I mean, overall, if it weren't for the parasite of bureaucracy, it wouldn't actually be a bad thing to have a bunch of fractured different directions of a bunch of people that believes in different things. That would be a good thing, because it would make sure that everything stayed decentralized, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is that the government is able to rob us all blind, while at the same time we still go against each other and have our own arguments and have our own, you know, finger pointing and all this stuff. So yeah, that's healthy discourse, but at the present time, while we're doing this discourse, we're being robbed blind by the government and by the bureaucracy. And that's what we need to rally around. We don't need to rally around, hey, I believe this and I believe that. No. As long as you believe that the government is the problem, okay, let's rally around that. Let's rally around that, dude. You know what I'm saying? Let's all get around that.
Right. Well, the thing is just, it's so simple. Why doesn't everybody just rally around the accountability of where every single cent of every single tax collected goes? That's all you gotta do. And then once people see the absolute freaking 50% that gets locked off to corruption, and when they understand that their tax rate's at 30%, and so maybe an eighth of their entire life is being paid to corruption, they'll probably get mad about it. What if every day you went to work and an hour you worked was just off the clock? Just think of that. That's what it is. Every day you go to work, your first hour is off the clock. It's going right to corruption.
Your first hour of work is just for the government, for the motherland.
It's not the government. It's for cronyism. That's all it is. Period. Because I bet you if you went to every pretty much cash flow chart of every city in the country, I bet you the average is 50% of where the fuck did it go. They lost $2.4 trillion from the Department of Defense, dude. How do you think they're going to do on a municipal level?
Well,
that's how you kill it. You just make it to the point where people get it. I go to work, you go to work for free every single day of your life for these people. And they do nothing for you except tell the police that if you don't pay that, to go take your shit or kill you if you resist. That's all they do. That's their function in society. That's it. Imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, the police are there to protect property and to guard property, and then to guard these big corporations. The largest property holders get the most protection because they got the most property to lose. So, like, when we went here in San Diego to protest the Federal Reserve, and we're outside of these banks, we're outside of Chase Bank, guess where the cops were standing? They were standing on the bank property, and they were holding us from stepping on the bank. You know, they made sure we stayed on the sidewalk and didn't get anywhere near the bank. That's what their job was. So they're not there to say, okay, well, you know, this is America, the land of the free. We're here to protect your rights. We're here to make sure that this corporation doesn't restrict your rights. No, they're here to say, hey, we're protecting this corporation to make sure that you're not stepping on this corporation's rights. And that's completely
backwards.
And
all these things have happened in the last 20 years. That's the craziest part about it, is there's lots of people out there right now listening even that could remember when it was totally different. The stuff's only two decades. It's been pretty quick. They've had to move fast because people started to wake up when the internet hit, and they knew they wouldn't be able to do this stuff on their timeline anymore. And we're at that crossroads. It's just that simple. But people got to get through their mind, man. Government, if you look at roads, it could be privatized. If you look at anything, it could be privatized. The only thing you wouldn't want maybe privatized would probably be the military. Because if you have a culture that you want to defend, if you have a way of life that works for you en masse among many different communities, then there needs to be armed forces to protect someone from coming and forcibly changing that. But we're at the point now where we can't have those forces under human direction because it's too greedy, it's too evil, and it's horrible for 99.999% of people. And it's like your buddy was doing with the work with the AI taking over Congress. It's going to have to be made to make all of our decisions as scary as that sounds, because people have pretty much gotten us to this point right here.
Well, what you can have is a system where there is a military, but it's controlled by the people, and the people, okay, well, if there's a problem and we need the military, the people get to say, okay, here's the problem, here's why we need it, who agrees, who disagrees, and if the agrees win, then it happens. So I mean, we're not making the decision making at the hands of the machines, really. We're just making the process, the bureaucracy. We're replacing that part and then implementing technology in between. So we're still, our voice is still heard, but at the same time, we don't have the bureaucracy where the corruption takes place, you know? So it's kind of the perfect system. We don't sacrifice our sovereignty to other people making our choices, but at the same time, we're not allowing some kind of superficial republic to dictate the rights of 350 million people and allow basically everyone to get their rights trampled on just because they voted for a guy. You know, that side of the equation just doesn't make any sense anymore. You know, and the Stanford study just goes to confirm, and I'm hoping that it gets mainstream. I'm hoping that a lot of people read it just because it was from Stanford, that the U.S. is basically an oligarchy. So basically, yeah, republics don't work. I mean, I can't name one republic that has worked. I can't really name one constitution that has actually done its job for a long period of time. I mean, the U.S. was created with this constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and all this stuff. And then they go in, and then there's this whiskey rebellion, and they go and try to tax all these guys for their whiskey that they were using to use an alternative currency. And this was only a few years. George Washington was still president when the whiskey rebellion took place. And it happened because they tried to collect taxes on all these whiskey guys that were making whiskey and trading with whiskey and creating commerce with whiskey. And these guys rebelled. They were like, hell no. We just fought this war to not get taxed. How the hell are you going to tax me? And guess what? That's George Washington is still president, and we sent troops in and fought this rebellion. I mean, so we're talking about a constitution that didn't even last 10 years before they started creating transgressions. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, it's just the age-old question, is man ready to self-govern? Those in charge always will say no. Even when the time is right, they'll still say no. But we all know the time's not right yet, but we're getting there. We're starting to see our potential when everybody's pretty much able to spread their wings and do what they want. And that scares people at the top. I totally understand. If you're living a super, super elite privileged life and you can see that pretty much crumble into being one of the peon types, well, you'll fight as hard as possible to continue that. But it's based on a system that cannot be sustained. They know that, and their solution is genocide, and our solution is innovation. Our solution is evolution. we don't need them anymore because they're a huge parasite, and that's all they are. You can cut a parasite off and still live just fine, probably even healthier. It's not symbiotic, it's parasitical, it's predatory. The financial system's predatory, and it's on the verge of collapse. And it's not going to be beneficial to anybody. Trust me. If people are like, oh, I can't wait for the dollar to go, trust me, it's going to collapse the entire world's global economy. And it'll be horrible everywhere. At least here, we'll probably be able to cling to some firearms for protection, but it's not going to be cool. This whole reset is not going to be cool. So as soon as you get off the need to go to the market, you're going to be a lot better off.
Yeah, man. It's kind of like it all draws back to this whole decentralization idea. And let me just put this out there real quick. When it comes to war, and you think about the wars that have been won, the wars that have been fought. Okay, we fought Vietnam. In my opinion, we lost Vietnam. We fought Afghanistan. We're closing out the Afghanistan war. We lost Afghanistan war. Iraq, we lost Iraq. None of these wars we won, because none of these wars, the goal that we went in to create didn't happen, right? So, I mean, all we're seeing here is a replication of this process over and over again, where we fight these wars, we lose these wars, we send in this big invading force, and then the people fight us at the decentralized level. They fight us house to house, tunnel to tunnel, tree to tree, jungle to jungle, right? So, I mean, when we get down to the nitty gritty of things, when we talk about defense, revolution, things like that, I mean, the war of the future isn't going to be fought in these battlefields where there's a bunch of, you know, tens of thousands of guys going out into this one field facing tens of thousands of other guys. No, you could fight that way if you wanted, but you're going to take massive amounts of casualties. I mean, the war of the future is guerrilla war, and the guerrilla war is the one that's been being won all over the world against gigantic empires. Think about the American Revolution. It was on our side where there was a lot more of the guerrilla warfare tactics used, and guess what? We wiped out the British, the largest empire of the day. And just like the Afghanis wiped us out, and just like Vietnam wiped us out, that's the way we have to think about things when in all aspects of this economy, is that we got to go guerrilla, we got to go decentralized. We can't face some tens of thousands. We can't raise $1 billion to lobby Congress, maybe, but we can lobby in our own lives every single day. You know what I'm saying?
And you don't need to, because, you know, the public opinion of the American people is still, at this present moment, more powerful than the government. As much as they'd love to say they don't need the public at large, if suddenly tomorrow the casualties among civilians was 99%, these guys would be hurting in a major way, and they'd probably just give up. Humanity's not at a point where we have Superman overlords at this point, where they don't need other people, so that's to our benefit, man. We can still resist, and we can still change the outcome of the future, but enough people need to wake up. Now, is America a lost cause? No, we can still wake people up. We saw the festival we were at. I talked to people up here, just as a matter of course up here, where I have to say, man, it's a lot more liberal than SoCal, and people are a lot more awake of what's going on. I mean, I went to a restaurant, and the girl's like, we don't have GMOs, in case you're asking. That they're doing that already, and it will filter from here to everywhere. They understand what's going on. The biggest question is, what do we do about it? How do we go to a point in the future where I can get on a very quick mass transit from my farm that's pretty much automated with robotic help, and then go to a job and come back and never have to worry about power or food or anything? If anything breaks down, I'm good. How do we get to that happy medium hybrid? Because that's the thing people want. And the solutions, they have to be made by these companies, these new companies coming up and these new kids coming out of college need to come up with these solutions, because the old guard's already dead, man. The only reason we have war is because there's not enough resources. That's it. And it's because we keep buying into this control grid, and we just don't need to have it. It's pointless.
Yeah, and we keep paying these taxes. We keep doing all these things. And we keep supporting this system. And we all know it's wrong. Almost everybody knows it's wrong, but we need to start having these really accessible ways of going about getting around it. And that's what I really like about Bitcoin. Now, the one thing that I, my one beef with Bitcoin is that it's inaccessible. It's hard for people to get into. It's hard for people to find out about because it is such a nerdy, you know, libertarian kind of like mathematic type of thing. Most of these guys are mathematicians and scientists. They're not really PR people. You know, they're not really good at making things that user friendly, even though they're making some of the most brilliant technology in the world. If people can't access it at large, then, you know, what good is it? And I think that's kind of where they're at right now, and that's where they need to work on, is getting the stuff accessible, because I've learned a bit about the technology and it is going to be this huge, huge thing. And it goes along the lines of what I was saying just before you were talking about the decentralization aspect of things, and this decentralization ideology, which is what's built into the Bitcoin. Bitcoin is basically permanently going to be a decentralized currency, and they've got built-in safeguards in the algorithm to make sure that no one can mass produce these things and hoard a bunch of these things, because if they find someone mass producing, the algorithm realizes it and it changes up and it makes it extremely hard for people to do that. So I mean, the ideology is being built into this stuff, and that's where we need to go. Everything that we build from here on out has to be the ideology of decentralization and reducing bureaucracy anywhere that we can. And if we could do those things, we can make a lot of these voluntary programs, that will go on to rival and eventually replace, outdo, welfare, food stamps, food assistance, social security, and all these things. Because we can do it if we can cut out the bureaucracy. That's where all the problem is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where all the money gets wasted.
Imagine if we had, like, a welfare recipient provided with 2,000 bitcoins a month. I mean, this can't be manipulated by one government. It's a global currency, and it's going to have a standard labor rate eventually assigned to it. And regionally, it'll be broken up or broken down depending on cost of living prices. I mean, up here already, I'm paying $2, $3, $4, $5 more for things. But I have to say that the quality of the food's a lot better, local, fresh, and probably organic for the most part. It just tastes that way. So you get what you pay for in every regard. So if you want to be a doctor and you want to live, I don't know, in the middle of Oklahoma, you're going to have a bigger house than a guy that will be living in NorCal. But you won't get the weather. The trade-off is going to be obvious. The labor rate will be pretty standard. It can't be really manipulated. And that's the way we're going to get around people needing government anymore. We're just going to have an open economy where people are paid for being humans. I guess the only thing we're going to have to worry about is overpopulation for our resource base, but that's probably about 10 billion, so we have a while to worry about that.
Yeah, and if you look at the historical rates, it seems like the countries, as they modernize and stuff, they naturally plateau. Their populations naturally plateau, and they get to this comfortable
right.
kind of, you know, this comfortable area where it's not too, there's not a lack of space, yet there's not too much space. If you look at a lot of the American demographic, the population has plateaued. Most of Europe has plateaued. Russia has plateaued. Japan has plateaued, and in fact, Japan is already shrinking. So I think as we modernize, there will be a less need to create so many offspring, because back in the day, a lot of the time people created offspring to help with labor and stuff like that. And especially
right.
as we have more robots and things like that to replace our manual labor, people will be having children strictly because they want children, not because they need some help or not because any other reason. You know, people will just be ready to have children. They want to have a child and they'll have one. You know, and
we can pay them not to, because in India right now you get a free car for a vasectomy. So if it gets to a crazy point where we're super, super stretched out, we'll pay people to shut it off, and they'll do it. A lot of them are doing it over there. So there's all these creative ways. We don't have to start wars. We don't have to expend resources and keep us perpetually in this indebted servitude and bondage to this disgusting system. But it doesn't really benefit anybody, man. It just really doesn't. You should be paid by your talents, but everybody should be able to have enough, and it's just that simple.
Yeah, man. And now, we got this situation down here in San Diego, being at the border and stuff, and I just wanted to bring this up and put this stuff out there. there's over 5,000 people that die a year trying to cross the border from Mexico into the U.S. And this is pretty staggering here. If whether it's by natural causes because they die of thirst, or they dehydrate in the desert, because most of this area, most of the border between the U.S. and Mexico is desert, or if they get killed by these Border Patrol guys. And I was at a rally, I was at a press conference today in San Diego about this guy that got just, he got just brutalized by these Border Patrol guys. And there was just like 15 officers, man. They just kept jumping him and tasing him. And they had him handcuffed. They undressed him, just kept tasing him. He went into a coma, got brain damage, eventually died. But, you know, here's the thing. We talk about this whole government and all this stuff. Now, we can't forget about the borders. And the borders, you know, borders are just these lines drawn out by governments. And now we're talking about over 5,000 people a year that end up dying just trying to get across this line that's been drawn. And it's been militarized. They got drones flying all along the border. And one of my favorite lines from Ron Paul in one of the debates when they asked him about border control, because, of course, all the Republicans are trying to build a huge, massive militarized border, fly massive drones and, you know, all these kind of things to protect our jobs, even though that's not really the cause of why we have problems with our jobs. But Ron Paul said it. Like, why would – I don't want to militarize the border, because one day that militarized border could be used to keep us in. So, I mean, we have to understand this common problem we have with Mexico, because Mexico also, just like this country, is quote unquote a constitutional republic, and we see the blatant corruption in Mexico because our press will at least cover a little bit more of what actually goes on in Mexico. Our press covers up all the corruption that goes on here, but it's just the same basic situation. You got a crony class. You got a governing class, and then you got basically 70-80% of the people just in almost poverty and living paycheck to paycheck. What was it here in the U.S.? 75% of Americans paycheck to paycheck now? So, I mean, we're basically all on the same playing field. And now we got this artificial border that's separating all the people, and people are dying to get back and forth. Families are split apart. You know, brothers and sisters are split and all this stuff. And it's all because of these governments. Once again, it goes back to the same problem. The governments have created, especially the U.S., we've created this bureaucratic system where we can't even allow people in because the system is so flawed that anyone that just comes in can start taking from the system. And at the same time, everyone's blaming. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the new accepted racism now is against Mexicans. Anyone can talk bad about Mexicans and the border and all
which
that stuff.
Which is ridiculous. It's just, you know, when people say that, I need to tell them to just be quiet, because you're probably eating the food they pick all the fucking time, and you're not going to go do it. So here's the thing, man. They're fulfilling a need. It's a cheap labor rate need for our country, but they need to be paid a living wage. A living wage needs to be paid to everybody worldwide. We're all world citizens. We just come from different cultures, and those cultures are simply dictated by folklore and by living patterns that were indicative of the surrounding resources of the tribe that settled there, and that is it. If you look at race, where you were born and where you lived and how much sun hit your face, eventually change what you look like. Big whoop. We're all the exact same for the important parts, which is our humanity. We got to get over this, man. The nationalism is right. It's a bridge to everything bad. Just like the monetary system that is a fiat is a bridge to everything bad. And we got to understand we really are all one now. If any government that's a superpower starts a fight with another one, we'll all die together. Don't have any doubts on that. So we all are one now.
Yeah, and immigration, if you have in the correct system, in the right system where you get rid of all this bureaucracy and all this entitlement society and all this stuff, because that stuff will be gone, because in the change of consciousness, everything will be done at these community levels and at the individual level. We don't have to worry about the system being sucked dry by these people because this system will be gone. And we want to encourage immigration because if you have immigration, that means you're doing something right. You know, you're doing something good and people want to go there. Now, when it comes to the U.S., yeah, we still have immigration coming in, but we're starting to see people not coming in at such high rates, and we're starting to see the highest levels of American expatriates that we've ever seen. Literally, the last 2 years in a row have set records. So we're starting to become this atmosphere, not where we're going to be worried about, oh, well, we got to stop immigration. Well, pretty soon, just like they did on the other side of the Iron Curtain, we're going to be worried about too many people trying to get the hell out of here because the place becomes so toxic. Yeah, yep. Yeah, brain drain, population drain.
Well, what's happening right now is crazy because forever we've been relying on these visas that were economic development visas to allow guys that had specific skills to come over, bring their whole families, and live a life of comfort. Well, part of the process was we'd educate them and they'd get their master's and doctorates here and they'd stay. But now they're going back, man, and they're overwhelmingly going back to Asia, all kinds of Asia. China, Japan, Korea, even India, and the brain drain, it's not starting, it's already done. Like, it's a four and gone, or it's a eight and gone, or however long these guys need to stay here for their degrees, and then they're gone. They're not sticking around anymore. They see what's coming. They see, I mean, honestly, man, when other countries talk about your own kind of government just telling you it's your food supply, ha ha ha, which I've heard before in other countries from other citizens, they know what's going on. We don't. Everybody here believes in the greater good, and the greater good will kill you. So people need to understand that. They view all of humanity as a stain, and they're going to eradicate us, and we got to get around that, man. We're all one people. Whatever starts here is going to spread, so if we don't stop it, it's just going to come to a neighborhood near you one day.
Yeah, and now the big thing, and this is the thing that scares me, but at the same time encourages me, is that at this point in time, we are the world's reserve currency, and I meant to talk about this a bit earlier about how the fact that we are the world reserve currency, at least for now, because we know Russia and China are getting ready to subvert us on that aspect, it puts us in this bubble. And when we do meet reality, it's going to be very real, and it's going to be you're going to find out. People are going to find out, you know, what life is really all about. It's not about all this superficial stuff and all this driving a BMW type of thing. But now the other thing is that the monetary system as a whole needs to be addressed, and I think it's like another issue that we can kind of coalesce around because it really affects everybody. And,
well, it's been addressed though, Nick. I think everybody knows elites right now are dumping stocks and buying gold. And they understand the reset's going to make all paper money moot. It doesn't matter if it's a yuan or a dollar or anything. The only tangible asset's going to be gold. How many men will shoot guns for you and how much food you command?
Yeah, and the food part is one of the most important because it's one of the few things in our lives that we actually need. And I'm still kind of reeling from this whole March Against Monsanto thing and how big it was and how many people showed up. And thanks to anybody out there that's listening that actually went or organized or whatever. I'm sure there may be a few organizers listening tonight. But I think I said it earlier, man, like the people, we're at that point where we know that we need to make changes, but we're still disagreeing about this whole debate where it's been narrowed down to this debate that really shouldn't even be happening about which direction we're going to take government. And
stop it and start doing what's right for you and your fellow man, and if you hurt somebody else, expect the full boom and have everybody armed, man. We can go back to that level where everybody can take care of themselves and society is good. As long as everybody's fed, happy, healthy, getting educations, we're not going to have problems and everybody will take care of themselves and the few sickos like this Santa Barbara kid. I mean, dude, if everybody was armed, they would have shot back as soon as he shot out of his car and it would have been over with. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but what is he going to do? Have a drone on every corner? How are they going to protect everywhere all the time? we have to take our own responsibility for it.
Hey guys, thanks for calling in. Check us out on Friday with LeVon and catch us back on Monday. Bye. Yo, here we go through the stereo.